I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry, and you're listening to episode 38. Today's guest is Cara Spencer, who is a mum of three. Her eldest son, Grayson, was born with brain damage, and he's got a genetic condition that so far has been undiagnosed, despite endless tests by multiple doctors and experts. She juggles the needs of Grayson with those of her younger two children, and in this episode of the podcast, Cara talks about what a challenge that is, how it affects her life, her marriage, and how it has changed her over the years. Cara also discusses what getting a diagnosis would mean to her, and the lack of support that's currently available to the families of undiagnosed cases like Grayson. What shines through as Cara speaks is just what a strong lady she is, and how lucky all three of her kids are to have her as a mum. Cara, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you're a mum to Grayson, who is 9.
Yeah.
Addison, who's 7,
yes.
And Deacon, who's 5.
Yeah, well done.
Yes.
That's impressive.
I was having a look on your blog and trying to work out the ages of your kids. And some
I haven't updated.
Yeah, some of the stuff's a bit outdated. So I was like, okay, so he was 2 then, so now he'll be this age, and he's just left reception. Okay, so that's good. Yes,
got it right. He's just turned 5, actually.
So. Yes, lovely. Okay, so tell me about Grayson. So he was born with brain damage, is that right?
Yeah, but we didn't know.
You didn't know at the time?
No, so we found out when he was 4.5 months old.
So for 4.5 months, as far as you were concerned, everything was fine?
No, so Grayson was born, by all accounts, at 37 weeks, but by my date's 35. But he was born after 3-day labour, of third stage labour, and he was born without fluids, so I'd lost my fluids 48 hours before, and they hadn't given me antibiotics, because you're supposed to have antibiotics within 24 hours of losing fluids.
I see.
He was born with the cord around his neck, blue, the usual thing, but didn't cry at all.
Mm.
And I actually was partially unconscious when he was born, so my memory of it was very vague anyway. And when I came to, he actually wasn't there. So my biggest fear when I was pregnant was a loss, like my child being stolen in hospital, which was really random. And then I woke up and he wasn't there.
Oh my goodness.
But Ashley was with him. But yeah, so they thought it was just because the cord was around his neck, so he was starved of oxygen.
Mm.
And because of the lack of fluids, he had caught an infection. So by all accounts, he was put in special care, and they thought it was just a really nasty infection, because you need those fluids to stop infection.
And why did that fluids thing happen? So, I mean, my impression was that if their waters break,
mm-hmm.
they get that baby out of there fast.
Yeah. So our local hospital was understaffed.
I see.
Is the short. I have pros and cons with the NHS. I have to use the NHS daily. That hospital I won't go back to.
Right.
We do have issues with that care and level of treatment. But yeah, I was lost of fluids, and then he wasn't delivered actually till 48 hours later.
Right.
I was going in for emergency C-section, but there was someone whose baby was in much worse case.
Right.
So they got taken in front of me, and my midwife, who was delivering me, who was phenomenal, knew that I was terrified of a C-section because I have an intolerance to anaesthesia.
Oh, do you?
So I would have had to go under complete sedation.
Yeah.
And she said, you've got 20 minutes to get this baby out. And she got the forceps. I pushed and we got him out. So, okay. But by all accounts, either way, it would have been a problem. It wasn't because of birth. It was because at 13 weeks, I nearly lost him. And whatever happened at 13 weeks, he had a stroke.
Really?
In utero. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't.
Yeah.
Know
that, no, I didn't realize either. It. Usually, it only happens from major trauma, and they still can't comprehend why. They still. So the brain damage is one issue, and his genetic condition is another, and the two have caused a massive problem.
Right.
But so as far by when he was like diagnosed at 4 months, he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at 4 months because they genuinely thought it was a brain damage related issue, yeah. And by 18 months he would be a normal little boy. He would just always struggle. He wouldn't do so well at sports day, was their exact terms to us when they came to us at 6 months. Sports day will always be difficult for Grayson, but everything else will be excellent. And then that wasn't the case.
So at that point, did you feel a bit more optimistic about things and about his future?
Yeah. I remember I actually looked back on a blog post the other day I wrote the day that we got that diagnosis. And I'm like, I'm so positive. And I'm like, my little boy, yes, he's not who he was supposed to be, but he's going to be okay. And all those dreams that I have for him are still going to be dreams that are going to be, he's going to aspire to. And now it's obviously a different case.
So what was it like for you then when you realised that wasn't the case? At what point did you get a diagnosis that was actually, this is a bit more serious than we thought? And
We've never really had it, so it's always been like he's not achieved to a month, so we would go, because he was very closely monitored. So the first 20 months we were in hospital every month locally, who we had a phenomenal doctor who I love dearly, and he was put within that hospital. They have a special unit where there was a nursery. So at 5 months, Grayson went to nursery, which was the hardest thing I ever had to do. Mm. But they explained that if he went there, it would help him develop. So we, and the ladies that run the nursery are still friends of ours now. They're incredible women. So by all accounts, every day just felt like he was, and he was gaining, he was slowly developing. So up to about 2 years old, He was just very tiny. Like, people go, oh, look at him, he's so cute, little six-month-old. And I'm like, no, he's actually nearly two. And he was still in six-month clothes at two. And he learnt to sit at about a year and a half. So he was doing everything, but just so much slower. So he was the happiest baby. He never cried. He was never miserable. The only thing he didn't do as normal was he didn't sleep and he didn't eat properly. But both were things that were expected for a delayed child. It was only... At 2 years, they sort of said, OK, yeah, he's definitely slower than we were expecting.
Is that because at that point you would expect a child to have some speech?
Yeah, so he wasn't... He was, even though he was under massive, massive amounts of therapy, so he did OT, physio and salt for an hour each week, which he hated, and he would shout at them in his own little way and everything. He was so aggressive with them. But he wasn't making progress, and they... just couldn't understand. Actually, they just didn't understand it. And that's when he was sent for more neurological tests. And as well as the bleed, they found what are called calcifications. And he had over 100 over his skull, which was really rare. So his neurologist said to us, everybody has them. And if you did an MRI on everybody's brain, there will be massive problems with everybody's brain. He said, but your son has such an extreme amount. And then they found that his skull had fused incorrectly. So all these little things weren't playing right, but they were still up until nearly three saying, no, he's going to be okay. And no one's actually turned, there's only one doctor that has ever turned around and said he's not going to be. Everyone else still goes, oh, well, you never know.
And would, as a mum, what would you prefer? Like, have you
honesty?
You want the honesty, want to be
so
told.
The doctor I said about, who we loved, the first time we walked into her appointment at 6 months old, she's a developmental paediatrician locally, and she went, so you know your son has brain damage, let's move on. And we just sat there and went, no, because we hadn't, although we'd been told he had a bleed on his brain, no one had ever used the term brain damage. And as absolutely stupid as that sounds now, we hadn't put two and two together.
Yeah, but I think, you're not medically trained.
No.
And you're just focused on caring for this baby.
And we just had this little baby, and we were doing the every day, and we were writing journals of feeding and everything. And so when she said it, we just went, oh. And she went, okay, you didn't know that, did you? And we were like, no. And she said, I'm not the sort of doctor that's not going to be blunt. And we were like, no, be blunt.
Mm.
And swear, she has always been blunt to that from until she retired recently. She's always come to us and said, you know, no, he's not going to do it. And she said to me, she went, when he walked, she went, I told you it'd be a miracle. Because they told us he wouldn't walk at about three. They said, it's not possible. The damage is too great. And she went, I knew he'd walk. He's my miracle child. And she still contacts me now. She's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So thinking back to when you were going through all of this and you weren't really sure what the future held, it must have been really stressful for you guys. Not only were you, you know, learning how to care for Grayson, but you were dealing with all of the emotions that came with it. Was there any kind of almost grieving process that you were going through that, do you think, looking back at what could have been? You're still going through it now.
Yeah. I spoke to so many special needs or additional need parent, whatever the correct term is, at this month, and we all liken it to grieving. There are some of us that cope with it better. I've never pretended that I would push that magic button and make him normal tomorrow. And that may change his complete personality. I don't like to think that's the truth. But
so you would press the button? Oh, yeah. You would?
When you watch your child go through 250 seizures a day, you watch them, like, for example, today he has screamed from the second he woke up to the second he left the house today. He's cried because he just doesn't know what's going on and he doesn't like it.
Mm.
And that's not, he's living, but he's not living a life that's good for him.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, you know. And you watch his siblings and I think, oh, he could be doing that. Or he's going to be 10, so he would be getting ready to go to secondary school. He'd be starting that Kent test process and he's not doing any of that.
Yeah.
You know, he still can't even chew and swallow. So
how have you handled that, those feelings?
Blogging helped massively. So every time something really life-changing for him happens, like the head injury where he nearly died, the pneumonia, I blog, and that is like a release. It's gone. I'm very fucked. I found big pros from social media, being a parent of special needs, because I have in excess of 3,000 people at the touch of a button all the time. Those first six, from 4 months to 6 months, we didn't leave hospital ever. And I was so lonely. And Ashley had gone back to work because we couldn't afford not to work. Mm. And friends and family came less. And I was on my own. And I didn't know about social media. And last time we were in hospital for 6 weeks, I had visits from people in London who I'd met through social media.
That's amazing.
I had just constant messages, people checking I'm okay, people talking to me. That's what keeps me going. But the grief's never gone. Some days it's like every day, and then one day something so small and it's like it hits you and I cry and I get really angry and I don't understand why my son was chosen and all those things. But
and have you been offered or sought out any kind of support or counselling to help you manage this?
No, absolutely nothing, which really sad. So I did one support group, which basically Grayson's old preschool, which was a special needs preschool linked to the school he's in now. There was a teacher there who was doing a university degree, and she wanted to prove that the having like counselling for special needs parents would help so much with progression into school and so many different things. And she managed to set up like a 12-week like program to show the benefits, but also doing it from the point of view as an educational standpoint for her degree. And she proved it, and they refused to keep going. Mm. And I've been to my doctor a couple of times. My doctor's really good, but he said to me the only therapy or help we could get at costs, and we just don't have that financial ability to do that. So no, and I think we need it.
Yeah.
The only time we'll ever get it is if we lose him, and they've told us that. So.
That doesn't seem fair at all, and it also doesn't seem fair to expect you guys to pay privately for that kind of support. So I guess that's your only option.
Tablets. I can take tablets, which I don't take. Get offered tablets. And I think it's sad because the statistics massive. I read years ago something like 85% of special needs family of special needs will end up in divorce. And I mean, to be honest, nearly everyone I know has ended up in divorce. Not solely because of that child, but it's such a huge contributing factor.
It must be the pressure.
Oh, it's immense. And I'm very fortunate with Ashley, but there's a lot of dads that step away and go into work and, you know, get involved in work and everything else.
Of course, you can,
these poor mums
you can understand
home.
That that is like a coping mechanism, isn't it? That you, if you can almost escape from that reality.
Well, I did it. I had, after I had Addy, I had severe postnatal depression because I had geared my brain up to believe I was going to have another disabled child. So when she was born, and she was a bit poorly the first couple of weeks, but after that she was fine. I then actually didn't know how to look after a baby that was normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I spiralled really badly, and my doctor said he was expecting it because after 3 years of bringing up a child with such additional needs, how could I not? And the only thing I could do was go back to work. So I went to bed. When Addy was 3 weeks old, I went back to work 6 days a week. And Ashley gave up work.
Wow.
And now I feel so much guilt still about it. But I know, still now know, it was the only decision we could make.
You've got to do what you've got
because
to do.
Because I was fine. I could care for her and do everything I needed. But I couldn't build that connection of love for her. Mm. All I cared about was Grayson. All I wanted to deal with was Grayson. And I thought it was better if I just left and I would get in the car and drive away. And I just, it was the best scenario for us, and it saved us as a couple. But yeah.
And how have things kind of developed over the years in terms of, you know, how you split your time as a mum between your kids and their needs and also their relationship?
It's hard. If I'd known now, I probably wouldn't have had three. I didn't realise how difficult it would be. We had Addy because they told us Grayson needed a child to aspire to develop. So I had Addison.
And was that at a point where they hadn't fully recognised how serious Grayson
is? Yeah, and they still didn't know. And the neurological genetics team said, don't have another child until we diagnose him, mm-hmm. which obviously now at 9, he's still not diagnosed. So by their accounts, I still wouldn't have another child. But local care said it would be the best thing for him. So we did it. And then when we had Addison, and Addison at 2 still wasn't talking because she was mimicking Grayson.
Right.
They said again, when we took Addison, she went under speech therapy and everything else. They said, she needs a sibling. The mm-hmm. problem is she has no sibling to like live with, to build relationships with. She's building a relationship with a child that can't respond to her. So we had Deacon. And no point did anyone say to me, actually, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
Because
that's amazing. It's amazing and selfless, though, because you are basically making these decisions based on 100% what the right thing is for your children.
Yeah.
Rather than actually, how will this affect me and us as a couple, and what can I cope with?
It's actually been detrimental to us as a couple, because the problem is now Grayson's bigger, nobody will care for Grayson. So happily, people will take, you know, oh, it's easy to look after Addison and Deacon. Grayson needs special equipment, special beds. It means anyone that would want to look after Grayson has to come here.
Yeah.
And people don't want to come here. Want to be in their own homes and take their grandchildren.
So you can't just, like, book a babysitter.
No, so we get one night off a year from my parents. But it's exhausting. But, and at the same time, we find it really important. So what we do is we spend an awful lot of time with each child individually, which sounds like, how do you do it? But Ashley's really comfortable with it. I'm not so much. I want us to be a family unit. Ashley is very comfortable in that we made a decision a few years ago that we're not just a family unit. We have to be two family units. And I'm still not very...
Two as in mum with kids?
Mum does some with kids, dad does some with kids. So yeah. They all get... So, for example, he will take Addison swimming on her own, or he'll have a whole day with Addison where they'll go to the cinema and they'll go for Costa and really simple, silly thing, go to the park and play. But that's it. That's Addison's time. And the same with Deacon. and I go away with Addison once a year for a night a year. She gets two whole days, and he does it. He's now doing it Deakin this year, and they requested that. So they were given, in January, they were given a notebook each to write 10 things that they wanted to do through 2018, just for them, not for anyone else. And funnily enough, they are really good, and they picked like half of the activities. They went, we want to do that because Grayson can do it with us. And which is really nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so they picked, like, we want to go to a new zoo, but one that's wheelchair friendly, Addison put.
That's so nice. You kind of expect them to do, to pick things that they can do
very separate
without Grayson being there.
No, Addison gets really upset that her brother is, like, she gets really upset that her brother's not at school with her.
Right.
So she'll cry. Like, we had it for about a year in year one. Like, year R, she didn't really notice it because she was still so small. But year one, where so many of her class got siblings, and she was just like, I don't understand why he can't come to school with me. And I said, but you know what? And she goes, yeah, I understand that, but I still don't understand why he has to be like that.
It's a big thing for a seven-year-old to take in, or a six-year-old to take in. So what? Where does Grayson go? Does he go to a special needs school?
So he goes, you have different levels of special needs schools. Thankfully, in Canterbury, which is the closest town to us, they have a severe, complex and profound school, because he falls into all those categories. So he goes there. In theory, so he's statemented, and his statement says he can do anything between 1 hour or 6 hours a day at school, depending on parents' discretion.
Right.
So we try and do full 5 days a week, and presently he probably does averagely 4 days a week. Okay. So it's really good at the moment.
And what kind of things does he do there? What kind of care does he get there?
So he does a really nice day, actually. He gets a really relaxing day. He does reflexology every day on his feet. He has reflexology. He does hydrotherapy. He does equestrian therapy, trampolining. His main goals are things like learning to play with peers, learning to share, because he doesn't know children exist. So if you put him in a room of children, he just wouldn't even notice they were there. Mm. He does a lot of like vision impairment work because he's visually impaired. So the most simple things, learning how to feed himself, learning to make choices. So his current goal is to try and tell you he wants to go to toilet. Well, he's obviously not toilet trained, he's pad trained, but they have to go to a certain room to do that. So they're trying to instigate him telling them that he wants to be changed, why he's wet or he's sore. And it's the most basic life skills, really. We took a right step back because he hasn't actually, where he's actually cognitively more delayed than when he started in reception. So he's gone right back to what they call early learning. So the equivalent to what you would do in like nursery.
Yeah. It sounds like he's somewhere really good and supportive.
His teacher's phenomenal.
And what does that mean for you in terms of your day-to-day routine? Do you have to drive him there and drop him off? And, you know, how do you balance that off with getting the other kids to their school and getting to work?
That's the hardest part. So our house is in the middle of both schools. So Grayson's is 15 minutes one way and Addison and Deacon's is 10 minutes the other. And it's hard because in theory they all do school hours exactly the same. So Grayson's is 9 to 3, they're 9 to 3:20. So at the moment, Ashley and I both have to do school runs. And it's hard work. And it meant for the first 2 years Addison was at school, she used to have to come to work with me every day. So I don't start work till after they start school, but 2 days a week then I'd have to go and pick her up and she'd have to come back to work and stay with me at work till 6 o'clock.
And were your employers okay with that?
Yeah, because I'm employed by my dad.
I wondered, actually.
So I'm very fortunate.
I'm sure you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, I'm employed by my dad.
That's really fortunate.
It is. And we did look at, both of us looked at getting other jobs, and we just don't think it's possible. So basically, employers are, if you are a family or a person of a parent of a special needs child, employers are supposed to give you full flexibility. Mm. But as someone whose dad has always owned and run a business, which is based around 40-50 employees, and someone that's had to deal with that, like being a head role, I just think that's so unfair. Mm. And yes, I really desperately want us to both be able to go out to work and do all those things. But you can't ask an employee, you know, for example, in the next 6 weeks, we have 5 days in London in hospital. Now, I can't ask an employer to, oh yeah, I'm just going to take these 5 days off, please. You know, they just, there's no flexibility
to that. It's hard though, isn't it? Because more and more people do have needs for flexible working, yeah. whether it is what you're experiencing
single
or
parent.
Caring for elderly yeah. relatives yeah. or so many things. And it kind of feels like actually we do need employers.
There needs to be people that get, yeah, there needs to be given to. I'm very lucky. My dad is brilliant at giving and taking. There's no, but then at the same time, I give back. So I was, you know, in labour with Grayson and I was still at work. So it's, we're very flexible. Yeah, I know, a lot of people laugh. Oh, I took 8 days maternity leave with Grayson. I took 5 with Addison and I took 10 with Deacon.
Wow.
Because my role's too important. There's no one else to do my role within the company, so it would be impossible. And so it swings around about, yes, I might be missing, but then if my dad needs me sometimes on a 10 o'clock at night job, I'm there to do it. So yeah. the problem is we get a lot of negative... The only negative comments Ashley and I really get is about the fact Ashley doesn't work. And people go, I don't understand why he doesn't work. You must claim those benefits. Firstly, we don't claim benefits at all. We just really struggle.
You must be entitled to some, though.
We get disability benefit, but that's for Grayson. And much to what people believe, we had it outside Addison's school the other day. Someone made a comment to me, one of the parents, and said, oh, you get so much money, though, you know, for your son. And I went, actually, no, we get like £300 a month. It's yeah. really not a lot of money. And I said, out of that, every time I travel to London, that has to come out of that cost. His nappies come out of that cost. You know, medications, everything comes out of that cost. And we get carer's allowance, but Ashley's carer's allowance, there's a lot of, in the media at the moment, parents petitioning.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because Ashley's hourly rate, no, Ashley's hourly rate as a carer is something like £3 an hour or something, and that's not minimum wage.
That's bonkers, isn't it? Yeah. It needs to be minimum wage.
It should be. I mean, I'm not greedy. I'm not asking for a lot, but I'm asking for enough to keep my family going.
Mm.
You know, we try our hardest not to claim anything. We try our hardest to look after them. But there are a lot of costs involved in a special needs child, which I didn't even think about or know. I mean, the sheer level of washing I do feels normal to me because that's my everyday since he's been born. But Grayson goes through 5 changes of clothes a day. That's a whole load on his own. And then when I talk to other people, like, yeah, no, I don't do that much washing. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he has to be bathed every other day, which is pretty standard, but we have to fill the bath to the top because of equipment.
Right.
Whereas most people don't fill the bath for a kid to the top. So there's the added water. There's simple things. He has to have so much machinery, like is electric, so his breathing machines, all that stuff. So it builds up electric.
Of course.
And there's no... You can apply for discounts in electric, but we tried and it was so... hard. It was like a 45-page form, and I just gave up in the end.
And how about the cost of actual equipment? Because he's got a special. Has he got a special wheelchair? Or
yeah. So the wheelchair is currently a government-funded one, but it's 3 years old and now not suitable. So we are looking to privately fund one.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Is that when you've got a growing child, mm-hmm. that stuff needs to grow with them, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So the next one's about 5,500.
Wow.
His chair that he has at home is 1500. His trike, so just like a bike to get him out and about, which thankfully bloggers fundraise for, which
is
so amazing.
I remember the fundraising.
Yeah, so that was 4,500. Car seat was 2,000, but he's nearly out of that now. Everything's spent. The bed was 10,000.
That's a huge amount of money to yeah. be spending. I mean,
we didn't spend that, so that's on loan, but. The day they want to pull it away, they can pull it away. We've got the newest thing is we need to get a wheelchair assisted vehicle. So yes, there's a part of his benefit that will pay the monthly lease for it, but we've got to find the £7,000 deposit.
It must be exhausting just even finding out all what you know what you're entitled to and reading through.
Yeah, because there's no one to help you with that. Well, that's not fully true. So if your child's diagnosed, so for example, if my child had cerebral palsy, there are charities that help you fill in paperwork and do all those things. But because Grayson's undiagnosed, he doesn't fall into a bracket. So
he's undiagnosed because the combination of his issues is so rare. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, is he the only child?
He's definitely
like
the only
him?
Child in the UK and Europe. So they did genetic testing. Like, so he's had lumbar punctures, brain scans, phenomenal amount of bloods. I cannot even remember how many. And he's done a DDD study, which is a massive study in guys, and they've all come back inconclusive. So he's now, after like a year of fighting, just been accepted for the genome study, which we're literally one of the last children to get on it. And in theory, that should diagnose him. But they said that about the last one. So right. I'm not, I sort of like going, I really, really hope so, but...
You don't want to get your hopes up.
No, and it's 2 years of waiting to find out. So, and you might not still after 2 years, it might be too inconclusive. But
what would it mean to you to have a diagnosis?
It's really different reason now to what it was even 6 years, well, even 2 years ago. Years ago, it was because if I could put that on paper, I felt like people would understand. And they wouldn't, because his diagnosis is going to be so rare... Everyone's going to go, oh, what? You know, what's this?
Yeah.
But for now, for me, it's because of Addy and Deacon. Because we know it's genetic, but what we don't know is if they're carrying it. And if they're carrying it, are their children, you know, is that... And I don't really want them to go through what we're going through.
Yeah.
And that I don't mean that negatively. I love Grayson and I wouldn't not have him. And... he is amazing and he brings a lot to me. You know, yes, he doesn't give me the same feedback that my other children give me, but he gives it in a whole different concept. But the life I've lived is not a life I choose for my children.
I think that's quite an important distinction to make, isn't it? That, you know, that you are not saying that you would go back and change things and that you're not, that you've got no regrets.
No.
But you're allowed to not wish that for your children when they're growing up and having children.
I have to live with the fact they've told us that Grayson could die of a stroke any day. So every day, like if he sleeps past 4 o'clock, which is really rare, and if he's really quiet past 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and for that split second, I like turn on his video monitor, well, his video monitor's usually on, but I roll over and check it. And I'm like, okay, is he in there? He's there because he's in a locked bed, so he can't get out. But then I realised that his video monitor can't tell me if he's breathing.
Mm.
So for that split second, I have to walk to his bedroom and just check. And it's normal for me now. Like, I do it every day, like every time he sleeps in, which is quite rare lately. But it's for that split second you just feel sick. Just because it's not the first time. He's been blue, I can't even tell you how many, 9 times now. And we were obviously given... 3 times we've been told he wouldn't make the day or night or operation. So it's not normal. And obviously I've got a lot of friends who have lost their children like Grayson. So I know it could happen tomorrow. And it could be the most simple thing that's not even related to his disability. Like when he had that seizure and fell out the door. That was, yes, it was related in the respect that he had a seizure. But the actual head injury was just an accident.
Yeah.
So.
And that led to an emergency operation, didn't
it? And we were given 4% chance of survival. And he was gone 8 hours at King's Hospital. And he lost half his skull. And by all accounts, he should not... You know, they were very honest. I said, what's the chance? They said 4% chance of survival. And then they said, when he comes around, he won't be the same child he was. And I said, well, he can't get more aggressive than he is.
Yeah.
And they said, well, he can. He could just be a vegetable. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's true. And I was like, okay. But he didn't, and he came round. But
so when he came round and actually he was, you know...
By his normal.
The same old Grayson, I guess, do you feel any kind of relief that knowing that it could get worse, could have got worse?
Yeah, because it has been worse. Like, 2015, he was having about 200 to 300 seizures a day, and he couldn't do anything. He was just breathing. That was the only thing. And it wasn't all the time. He went in for oxygen quite a few times. But he couldn't sit. He couldn't drink. He couldn't do anything. It was just... He just laid on the sofa for about 15 hours a day and then spent the rest of it laying down in bed.
Mm.
And then every day you get this, like, one moment where he just come back. But then they told us, he had 6 months at that point. And they said it'll either be a stroke that kills him or he'll just give up the fight. So you just... I don't know. You just... I'm quite hardened to... It's really weird. I think I have to be. So people go to me, oh, like, you say it's so matter of fact. People go to, I remember telling someone about his brain injury recently, because her husband's had one, and she was asking about Grayson's, and she went, you say it's so matter of fact? And I said, well, kind of is.
Yeah, it's your reality, though, isn't it?
And I said, I can't... If I get upset about it all the time, I would actually never stop crying.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 kids to get through and, you know, normal everyday life.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile.
From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How do you think that raising Grayson has changed you as a person? I've seen you talking about how you've got a bit of a lack of confidence. Have you kind of had to learn to fight for what you want or what you need, or speak up about things? Has your confidence grown, and have you kind of seen yourself change in any other ways?
Massively. So my confidence, I'm two people with my confidence. So Grayson's mum, I actually feel like I'm segmented into different people. So Grayson's mum is like my main, I mean, it even probably comes above Addison and Deacon's mum as a rule of thumb every day. Grayson's mum is this hugely confident person who does not give a toot what anyone thinks. And I have learnt to fight for everything I need. I walk in meetings now with sort of 15 healthcare professionals and education, and I don't care. I genuinely don't care what they think of me. I can argue my case. I have learnt to be a nurse to Grayson. If you had told me even 2 years ago I would be able to put a tube in and out of his stomach and dislodge it and put medication, I would have gone, no way, that makes me feel really sick. And I can do it. I can give him breathing machines. So that person is hugely confident.
Yeah, and strong.
But really strong. And, nothing really phases me that as Grayson's mum. But in the respect of my confidence, what it has done is being so confident for Grayson has meant Cara has become a complete shell. I just am probably the most unconfident person you'll ever meet. On that other respect, day-to-day life is just so difficult.
Which surprises me, because when you look at your blog and all the stuff that you write about and your stuff that you're passionate about, vintage interiors and fashion, and you on your blog, which I totally accept isn't always how you're actually feeling, you come across as this vibrant, confident person.
It's funny because I've hired a mentor with regards to my blog, because I've been blogging 11 years now, and I've got really disheartened about it because the blogging world's changed, which and I just don't know where I fit or where I am. And I hired this mentor, and we got into a conversation the other day on Skype, and I burst into tears, and she was just like, people really don't get you. She said, you are very, very clever on Instagram and social media, putting this person that's, she said, like, because I get a lot of comments about, because I'm plus size, I put a fashion shot up and they're like, oh, you're so confident, I wish I could do that. And I'm just like, seriously? No, that's exactly what I'm not.
Yeah.
But they're all things I love so much, and they're the thing. Being Grayson's mum is 80% of my life every day, and it is really difficult. There's no pretending it's difficult. It's very exhausting. He doesn't sleep very much. He takes a lot of care. But that means that 20% of me is very selfish and really needs to find things that make me happy to counteract all that. And so my blog does that, and social media, Instagram and stuff especially, and the people I meet through that. So the fact that I can promote that confidence is purely because I really want people to like me.
Oh, yeah.
And because our real life is hugely isolating.
Yeah.
I cannot. People think I'm joking, but we genuinely don't have real life friends, what I call real life friends. We lost absolutely every one of them.
Just simply because you were far too busy to keep up with them, or?
No, because we made real effort not to do that. I just think people don't want to be around a child like Grayson. And that I have no upset, especially for friends. Family, I found it a bit more difficult, because family, I feel you should love someone no matter what when they're family, you know, unless they do something bad. But he's not done something bad. He's this little child that can't help who he is. But friends, I totally, totally sympathise. I understand why they chose to leave. Because if we go out, people do stare and people do make a lot of judgments and people do make comments. And I actually don't mind. I'm really hot. There's a lot of families that find it very difficult and in respect don't leave their homes because of it, because they feel so isolated. Me, I don't care. You can look at my son, you can stare. Don't say something nasty to him, but it's human nature. We look at what we don't understand and people go, oh, you people should ask questions. And I think, well, let's talk it from the point of view. If someone came up to me and asked me a question, I'd be really honest, and I have no issue with answering those questions. But I know a lot of families who are like ours that would be so angered and hurt by you coming up and asking them a question.
Right, yeah.
Because they just want to blend in.
Yeah.
And I'm quite realistic. We can't blend in.
Yeah.
Grayson's in a wheelchair. He makes an awful lot of noise. He bangs, he shouts. You know, he's not... You know, my other kids make just as much noise, but he's more obvious. And yes, he doesn't look stereotypically special needs, because if you looked at him in a picture, I don't think you'd know, because he doesn't have physical disformities or disabilities. But he frightens people. I mean, I had a woman in the who didn't realise Grayson was my son. She was standing in a queue in Marks Spencer's the other day, and he shouted as Ashley wheeled him past, just a happy shout, and she jumped. And she went, oh, don't you wish these people would shut their children up? And I'm standing right beside her.
I mean, that's kind of an unreasonable reaction.
Full stop.
For any
children
child.
Children make noises, don't they?
Yeah.
But it echoed. And I sort of laughed. And then I went, be my guest, try and stop him making that noise. And she said, sorry. I said, that's my son. And she went, well, you should teach him to be more quiet. And I said, he's actually, if you'd looked, in a wheelchair. And I said, honestly, he wouldn't even understand if I told him. And she just walked off.
She needs a bit of a lesson in acceptance, doesn't she?
And I just sort of giggled, and the woman behind the till looked at me and was like, I'm so sorry. I said, there's nothing for you to apologise for. And it's not the first time we've had it. We had a woman that fell over in a supermarket because he was so happy and he shouted, and she had a go at me. And I just think, I don't know, people find it difficult, friends find it difficult, and the online world, thankfully, gives me friends that I don't get in real life, so...
You mentioned before that you found real comfort from social media. Is there a flip side where you're also being bombarded by these images of sort of family perfection?
Yeah.
And what, you know, what you could have had things been different?
Yeah.
How do you balance off the benefits you get from social media with any sort of negative feelings?
I'm learning to. I'm not yet. That was what my mentor and I were talking about the other day, because I said people don't want... So if you notice, my blog has gone from being... So it started as something completely different, and then I went to sort of what they could class as... I hate the parent blog term, because everybody's a parent. Anyone that's a parent and blogs is...
Yeah. It's just a label, isn't it?
Yeah, but so... And then I went into what they call parent blogging, and... A lot of my posts were designated around my children and my feeling, and then there was a massive amount of to do with Grayson and how I responded to him, and then I just stopped it dead about 2 years ago. There's literally not even a handful of posts about being a parent. And she asked me why, and I said, because people don't want to see my family. And she said, I don't know that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
I said to her, PR companies don't want to work with a special needs family. And I've had it said to me. So there's two holiday companies that actually came to me and said why they didn't work with me. And I was really thankful for their honesty. And I said that to them. I said, please don't think of it as a negative.
That's so surprising, though, because special needs families go on holiday to.
Thank you, yeah. So that's why I set up Raising a Superhero, because obviously I have that as a separate entity.
So this is your separate Instagram account.
Yeah.
Is it every day you upload to it? Or just
every day on Instagram. The blog sort of has been hit and miss because life got in the way. So we try and do once a month on the blog.
But on Instagram...
Instagram's a daily picture of his everyday life.
Picture of Grayson and then something that he's been doing.
Yeah, so like a story behind his everyday. Because I think it's, for a lot of people, it's quite interesting to see. And it was funny, someone said to me today, he sleeps a lot. And I just laughed because I'm like, no, he really doesn't. But his pictures look like he does because if we leave the house, he sleeps. That's his way of coping.
Mm.
But yeah, so I set up Raising a Superhero because I want to work with a lot of brands. So I wanted to work with a lot of brands, for example, holiday companies, days out, things like that, because I wanted Raising a Superhero to be this one place that you could go. Because as a special needs family, the first thing I have to do is I have to think, right, where are we going to go? Where's going to cope? Where's wheelchair friendly? And then I have to think past wheelchair friendly, because most places are wheelchair friendly now,
yeah.
Which is phenomenal. I mean, my granddad was in a wheelchair and places weren't 20 years ago. But everywhere has to pretty much be wheelchair friendly now. But not everywhere is autistic friendly and special needs friendly and disabled child friendly. I mean, disabled adults more, but disabled child is still like this grey area. And so I have to go and I think, right, can we go there? Or is it just going to be too much for Grayson? Is it going to be too much in terms of staring and everything that would then make Addison and Deacon feel uncomfortable? And I have to look as a whole picture, because we're not just Grayson, we're Addison Deacon, who are normal kids that want to do things. So that's my hope for Raising a Superhero. And it's, you know, we went to Norfolk in June and there were a couple of places that invited us and it was brilliant. And they spent so much time talking through with us and how they can improve it. And they didn't even necessarily want blog posts, which I am going to do. They just wanted me to come and say, you know, does this work for you? Because we really want it to work for everybody. And so that's brilliant. But I find, as a whole, social media don't like my family makeup. So the 2.4 pretty little children is what people want to see. That's what sells products. Grayson doesn't... He sells special needs products really well, but he doesn't sell products. And the problem is, my family as a whole, I cannot pull him out to do these lovely holiday
He's
posts.
He's part of your holiday. He's part of your family.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't say they upset me. Like, I don't look at, we've got similar friends on social media. I don't look at their family makeup, who are very similar to mine in ages and everything. I don't feel upset anymore. Like I used to be like, oh, that could have been me. Don't feel like that anymore at all. I've sort of, that's done.
You've moved past that.
Yeah, but I do, I actually can look at their person. I just think, oh, I enjoy them because they're my friends.
Mm.
But I do get a little bit jealous of what I could have achieved blogging-wise. Yeah, I'm not going to lie about that. That's an issue that I've had to deal with.
That's really insightful and interesting, but also utterly depressing that you feel that as a blogger, as somebody on social media, you have been held back by the fact that you have got a special needs child.
Yeah. It's been great. I mean, I don't have a negative... I don't negative about social media at all, because... like I said to you, for me, it saved my life. Genuinely has saved my life. I could not have done all those hospital stays and been so isolated, because now all Grayson's care's in London, which is on a good day, a 2-hour, 20-minute drive from my home.
Yeah.
So when your child goes into hospital for a week, you know, family members come and say hi and it keeps your day pulsating along. I don't have that. We go to London and that's it. It's me, Grayson, or Ashley and Grayson. And it's hugely isolating. So social media, from that respect, saved my life, genuinely. Like, because just so many people that care. I mean, when Grayson was in for the head injury, a huge amount of them got together in a secret Facebook group and raised enough money to give me fuel money to get back in for myself. Give me lunch and dinner. And I literally was, like, sobbing. And then I sort of... But I go through things like, at the moment, there's a big group of them want me to start a GoFundMe pay, or the ones where you can just keep donating, giving.
Yeah.
And I just still, I'm like, no, you know, I'm very, it's the pride in me, I think. I feel ashamed. And so many people are going, why? Because we just want to help
people.
You
want to help. Yeah. I definitely understand that feeling of pride.
Versus.
And feeling like, actually, no, I should be able to do this myself. Yeah. We should, as a family, be able to support, get through this. It's, but, that's really tricky, yeah, to manage, isn't, yeah, it?
But we'll get there.
So what does the future look? What does the future look like for you guys as a family and for Grayson? Do you know, or are you still at a point where you're still almost like living from week to week, from month to month?
So we're told not to look when, because I went to my Grayson's school the other day, and his teacher's really understanding, and I said, look, obviously he's only got 2 more years in the primary side of school. Then he jumps up. It's one school, but segregated how it's run.
Right.
And I was like, what's going to happen? How is this going to be dealt with? Because in his primary education, they now grade him by ability, not by his year group. But the secondary still runs very much on year group.
Right.
I said he can't go back with his year group because they've, you know, most of them can read and write. He can do nothing. And she went, that's 2 years away. I'm like, no, I need to know. I'm a dreadful control freak, hugely dreadful control freak, and control freak around Grayson, just horrific. I mean, his teacher is now one of his carers out of school, and she took him out the other day, and that's the first time I've ever let anyone take Grayson out, ever, in 9 years. And she didn't realise that, and she was so good, and she sent me a picture every hour, and she was sending me updates, and I felt so bad afterwards. I was like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to make you feel like you had to do that.
It's understandable, though. I mean, when you know, when he needs such a high level of care, having control over that is completely understandable.
But, we don't, we're not allowed to look forward to the future, is what they tell you. Ashley doesn't. Ashley is so... We're complete opposites. I'm incredibly pessimistic. He's incredibly optimistic. So as far as Ashley's concerned, Grayson's going to live till, 40, 50, whatever. I'm not so sure. I already have his funeral planned in my head. And we just joined the hospice because the hospice has an end-of-life suite, which is then open to us. And I was talking to a friend about it the other day, who's also, her child's really disabled. And she went, I didn't even know they had an end-of-life suite. I said, you go there. She went, but I don't want to know about that. Why would you want to know about that?
Everyone deals with it differently.
Yeah, so Ashley didn't want to see it. So he didn't. I went and saw it, and he saw a little bit of it, but he was like, why would I want to know this? Whereas me, I'm like, right, what are we going to do?
That's the control thing again, isn't it? Yeah,
and because they take your car away the day within a week of them dying, and they take all this equipment. So how are we going to deal with this? We're not going to have a car, so we need to put a contingency. I'm like this, and he just looks at me like, he's right there. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I have to.
Yeah.
So no, the answer is we live each day as today, because 2 years ago he wasn't going to make 6 months, and now 2 years later he's here.
From where I'm standing, you are doing an amazing job.
Thank you. So,
I really wouldn't worry.
I'm not sure
much.
They agree with that, but
your kids look well-rounded, and even just you saying that they were asking to do activities that included their big brother,
they are really good.
That is testament to how well you're doing. So I think go easy on yourself.
Yeah, that's a parent's job, I think, unfortunately, isn't it? Parenting is literally the hardest thing on the planet.
It's hard. I mean,
nobody warns you.
And harder for some compared to others. So yeah.
What's going
to
be different for you again? Twins is like a whole other parenting journey. I think people go, I couldn't do your life. And I said, yeah, you could. It's just you're not doing it, so you think you couldn't. But everybody thinks they can't do what someone else is doing. And that's absolute tosh. Everybody can do it. It's just everybody's journey's different.
Mm.
So you've parented one daughter beautifully and done that, and now you're going to have two others, and yes, they're both girls, but then there's that whole twin thing that's going to add into it, and then a mummy of three.
I know.
At the flick of a switch.
Oh my goodness. I'm in denial at the moment, Cara.
You'll be fine.
It's not happening.
No.
Okay, I've got some quick fire questions for you. If you could take your family anywhere in the world, where would it be?
America. So I'm half American.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. And before we had Grayson, we were doing a road trip across America, which we then had to cancel. So I would do that because I'd love to just show them. There's so much to see over there.
Yeah.
And Grayson is the biggest Mickey fan on the planet. So to take him to Disney Florida is just, it's actually what we're contemplating for a Make-A-Wish decision. But
is it, would it be suitable for him? Like, are they kind of set up for...
They're set up for disabled children. Oh, phenomenally.
But I guess it's quite stimulating.
That's the problem. So Disney Paris, we did a few years ago. Oh, God, no. Like, I was pregnant. I was telling you, I was heavily pregnant. I was 38 weeks pregnant with Deacon. So 5 years ago. And it was horrific. Because, not because of Disney. They did everything they could possibly do to make it brilliant for Grayson. It was just, he found it so overstimulating.
Yeah.
But... up until this last week, he's been in such a good place. I think if we're going to do it, it's now or never. So it is something we're thinking about.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, you're really into vintage-inspired interiors. I'm looking around your kitchen.
This room's the least vintage.
Well, but then you've got kind of vintagey photo frames up, and yeah. I can see you've got kind of vintage-inspired crockery up there.
I do.
What would your top tip be for buying vintage?
eBay's brilliant. So I have like 2 G-Plam units which were 99p from eBay.
You are kidding. How did you manage that?
Because people are just daft.
Value.
It was so funny. When Ashley picked up one and he took a pound and he said, oh, don't worry about the penny. And he just went, I'm not happy with this. This guy did. And I went, why? And he went, this should have sold for a lot more. And I just was like, then don't start at 99p. Yeah. But people think, oh, I won't start because it's cheaper. But if you want something to sell, not everything's going to sell for the amount you want. So, yeah, 2 cabinets for 99p. One I resold for £100. After, like, 5 years as well, because we just couldn't fit it in this house. The other thing, look places you wouldn't look. So... people go, oh, you have to go and pay over the odds in like typing vintage on Google.
Yeah.
But those people know what they're doing. They're selling it. You'd be surprised where you can go. I go to like a lot of charity shops and stuff. But eBay and Facebook groups, they're the new eBay, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the nice thing about those is most of the time they're local ones, so you can get it. But I get an awful lot out of Skips as well. I'm dreadful.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. I'm dreadful. Half my furniture's Skip furniture.
Okay, what has been your most embarrassing parenting moment? Have you had any? Ooh. You know, any...
Grayson peed on me, and that sounds like, oh, everyone's been peed on. But we do. My brother lives in London. He moved up there not long before Grayson was born, and he said, "Come up for the day, so you know, and I'll take you around." And Grayson was in a pushchair, so it's like really easy. He was like 6 months old, so I take, you know, the huge mummy bag full of everything, including the kitchen sink and 5 changes of clothes for him, and literally get up there and I said, "Right, I'm just going to change his nappy, and then we can go." And I opened it, and he peed all down me.
Oh.
Like, and this is like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Did you change of clothes for yourself?
No.
Oh no.
And I mean, saturated. And so I literally, we went to a nice restaurant in London. I went on all the, you know, the district. Like, I went in all the tubes.
Covered in
urine. And it was white. I was wearing a white top. Oh, so it was not even like, I'd like hand washed it and quickly dried it, but it was very much covered in urine. But I've had loads. The kids are dreadful. Addison and Deacon are dreadful for saying things. They tell, like, you know, when you say something about someone and then they say, oh, mummy said.
Yes.
And I'm like, no.
You have to learn to not say those things in front of the kids, don't you? Otherwise it just gets repeated.
Deacon swore once really badly as well, but he hadn't heard it from us. He'd heard it from someone else and he just blurted it out. I can't even remember. We were somewhere really quiet and I was just, oh, my God. I mean, you know, no one likes their child's girl. And I was like, that's not from us. We don't approve. We don't use that language.
Don't
swear around you.
Cara, thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been so lovely to chat to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How amazing is Cara, everyone? She's just a fantastic lady. I'm going to pop links to her blog and her social channels on the show notes so that you can follow her and follow Grayson's progress. But thank you so much for tuning in. Please hop over to iTunes where you can rate and review and subscribe to the podcast, which really helps other people find the podcast. So please do that if you've got 5 seconds spare. And I'll catch up with you next time.
Hi. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.